Welcome to the Chrisman Commentary Daily Mortgage News Podcast. I'm your host, Robbie Chrisman. Topics on today's episode include originations data, my interview with Figure Technology Solutions' Jackie Frommer on disrupting the industry by leveraging proprietary technology in a deep partnership network, and it's steady as she goes when it comes to the Fed. Thanks to this week's podcast sponsor, PHH Mortgage. From subservicing to correspondent lending, MSR/co-issue transactions, portfolio retention, reverse mortgages, and commercial servicing, PHH has solutions for the entire mortgage lifecycle. A fine is a tax for doing wrong. Well, the tax is a fine for doing well. April 15th is in a week, the traditional date when taxes are due. Time flies. Do you realize that we have 7 more months until the election? 7 more months of headlines and gaffes, posturing, missteps, and election trivia. Like, no Republican has been elected to the White House by a majority of Americans since 1988. Thank goodness for gerrymandering. I'm glad residential lending continues to motor along, albeit at a very moderate pace. Optimal Blue released this March 2024 Originations Market Monitor report, which revealed the average home buyer credit score has reached 737, an all-time high since the company began tracking this data in January of 2018. In February and March of 2024, average FHA borrower credit scores reached 676 and 675 respectively, also all-time highs since tracking began. Those highly qualified purchase applicants in the traditional spring home buying season have driven a 17% increase in purchase rate lock volumes month over month, even in the face of increasing home sale prices and a 6.74% 30-year benchmark rate. Rate and term refi activity rose 19%, and cash-out refi activity rose 11%, aided by improving rates. The average loan amount rose by $8,000 to $367,300, and the average home purchase price increased $9,700 to $463,800. Despite strong month-over-month gains, March purchase lock counts were down 24% from the same period in 2023, at least partially due to the Easter holiday weekend falling in March of this year and April last year. One issue that seems to be lingering, however, is when lenders address the rising costs of credit. It's important to know the difference between a CRA and a credit bureau. And in this situation, CRA stands for Credit Reporting Agency, not Community Reinvestment Act. Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion are credit bureaus. CRAs include several smaller companies. For today's interview, I want to welcome to the show Figure Technology Solutions' Jackie Frommer to talk about disrupting the industry by leveraging proprietary technology and a deep partnership network. It was announced last week that Figure Lending will now operate under the new umbrella brand Figure Technology Solutions, and FTS will be an independent company that separates from Figure Technologies and the newly created Figure Markets. By launching FTS as a standalone company, the platform will be better positioned to deliver best-in-class lending technology solutions, including its flagship HELOC product.
As some people know, I, at SoFi, worked with a lot of people that started Figure, and so it's been cool to watch Figure's progress over the years. And Figure recently launched Figure Technology Solutions and this new proprietary technology enabled platform. I want to start by talking about Figure, then we'll get into the technology. Figure Lending is the largest non-bank originator of HELOCs. How's the market demand been of late in the HELOC space?
Yeah, it's been great. We actually had our biggest quarter by a significant amount this quarter, our biggest month by a significant amount in March. I think people are sort of finally understanding, one, the at least in the case of HELOC or in Figure, the speed of our product, which makes it very comparable to personal loans and other sort of non-mortgage products. So I think that's attracting a lot of folks. And obviously, there's a lot of equity in people's homes that they're trying to tap and not a lot of other alternatives. So we're seeing a tremendous amount of growth.
Glad to hear it. I do want to talk about Figure's proprietary lending technology platform, which, to kind of clarify for listeners at home, not all Figure tech is blockchain. Can you explain how Figure's proprietary technology lending platform is a perfect use case for mortgage originations and what it does?
Sure. I would say the most compelling thing about our technology is that it's very automated. And so we originate, and I think hopefully a lot of people on this listening to this podcast know this, but we originate both for our own customers, but actually where we're seeing most of our volume is through our partners. So we are originating loans for a number of the large independent mortgage banks that are out there. But no matter who we're originating a loan for, all of our HELOCs look very consistent. And that's because all of our technology is automated. So whether we're doing an underwriting for one of our independent mortgage banks or an underwriting for another one, the loans at the end of the day are all going to get processed through the same technology. We don't have underwriters. We don't have loan officers. And so we're really using proprietary algorithms and decision trees to give really the same sort of process to all of our loans. And so automation is really key, which is actually great because we don't have any inconsistencies as it relates to how our loan looks, how our loans look, or any exceptions. We also use things like AVMs instead of appraisals. And so that information all comes through digitally. We use e-notaries as opposed to manual notaries. We verify income through digital means like Plaid or automated tax returns. And so the whole process is very streamlined before you even get to the sort of blockchain piece of it. And so the user experience is very fast. We can originate a loan we can approve a loan in 5 minutes or less. We can close a loan in 5 days. And the customer really has to put in very little paperwork because we're approving everything digitally. So the experience is great. It's fast. And our loans fund really quickly. Once they fund, they go on blockchain. And so the benefit of blockchain is much more from the investor standpoint. Our customers don't really even interact with blockchain or know that that's sort of what's powering our technology. The speed and efficiency of blockchain comes when we sell loans to investors.
I did always think it was the perfect use case for investors because you basically get a token that has validated all this data and you don't have to have mountains of paperwork and it's very simple to trade along the blockchain. But you and I are talking today because Figure just announced that it's operating under the new umbrella brand Figure Technology Solutions, which is focused on continuing to develop and distribute their proprietary technology-enabled platform to lending partners and investors in the lending ecosystem. What was the rationale behind this and what do you hope to achieve as a result of it?
Yeah, it was a couple of things. I think you started the conversation with the creativity of Mike Cagney and the number of things he's done. Figure, when it started, was doing a lot of different types of businesses utilizing blockchain technology. So we had a payments business, we had a markets business, and we had the lending business. The lending business, it's become a much more mature business. We've been doing it now for 6 years. Originated, many billions of loans. And we're just in a different maturity cycle than some of the other businesses. So part of the rationale was that the lending business looks very different than the other parts of Figure and the investors in terms of both equity investors that attracts as well as just sort of people who want to be involved in the company. It's a very different sort of set of folks than would be involved in some of the less mature businesses. So it made sense from a maturity standpoint and also from a resourcing standpoint. It made a lot of sense as well for the business. We're at the point with Figure Technology Solutions where we've got lots of customers, both the partners that we partner with as well as the individual customers and borrowers, and the investment in technology to make sure that we remain cutting edge, that we can invest in new products, that we can hire additional people, just requires much more resources than it would for some of the less mature companies. And so this enables us to really focus and do what we do well, invest the resources in growing the lending technology, growing the lending products that we are able to offer to our customers, and making sure that our technology is state of the art and that we can continue to refine and build on the product that we have. So it was a little bit about maturity of the businesses as well as focus for lending. So it's super exciting because it really enables everyone that is now part of Figure Lending to focus on growing the business for our partners and our borrowers, which is what we want to do.
Yeah, definitely cool to bring in more lending partners and investors into the overall ecosystem. I don't want to belabor the point here too much, but what do you feel like the broader vision for the business is?
So today we're a lender. So whether we're originating directly to customers through our own channels or whether we're providing our technology to our partners, we're ultimately either buying loans from partners or originating directly in our name in the case of our wholesale channels. But we are the ones that are interfacing with the capital markets. What we'd like to do and what we're really focused on is stepping out of the role of being a lender and really providing our technology to all of our partners and enabling them to originate based on their criteria, but utilizing our technology and then providing a marketplace for them to be able to transact those loans through the capital markets ecosystem that we've created. And because of all of our, and I said this a little bit earlier, our loans are all homogenous. So what we originate on the platform looks very similar, regardless of who the originator is. We believe that we can create a marketplace where investors, because they know that every loan originated in our technology looks very similar, are willing to buy it, regardless of who the underlying originator is. And this, we think, will really increase the liquidity of the loans that are originated on our platform. So at the end of the day, our strategy is really to separate ourselves out, no longer be a lender, provide technology, both loan origination technology, and then a marketplace, both to our partners and to investors. And we believe this is really important because I think, as everybody knows, credit has just become harder to come by. We see a lot of banks sort of exiting or being, sort of less likely to originate and buy loans in the volume that they had before. And so a private credit capital markets really needs to step into place to be able to give access to consumers, the loans that they've always, needed. And so, at the end of the day, we're hoping that through our technology, we'll be able to create a much more efficient capital markets ecosystem for loans like HELOCs and other loans that may have been less liquid before, just because investors, one, because of just capital constraints from investors, but as well, some of the loans like HELOCs had not been originated as consistently as we're able to do them now. And so we will, over time, take our technology and apply it to other, mostly non-agency products. So whether it's jumbos, whether it's DSCR, non-conforming mortgages, and then potentially some other consumer products, all originated with the underlying technology that we originate our HELOCs with. And ultimately, like I said, creating a marketplace so those can be traded efficiently and so that investors will know that a loan that's originated on our platform, has the same processes as any other loan.
I'm certainly excited to see how the business develops from here. It's exciting times in the industry, and it feels like we're on the precipice of this kind of tech revolution and transparency that'll just be much better for the borrower and the overall lending experience and process going forward. So I want to close by asking you, how do you see both the HELOC and the broader technology space continuing to evolve as it pertains to mortgage?
So I think that there will be, I think a lot more people that are trying to innovate. I mean, we've always seen people trying to figure out how to do mortgage much more efficiently than it's been done. There was something recently published where, even as recently as the last quarter, the average independent mortgage bank lost $2,000 on every mortgage loan that they originated. And that's not sustainable. And so I think the continued, sort of drive towards automation, efficiency, the mortgage industry in particular always goes through cycles where, it's boom or bust. And a big reason for the bust is that the business doesn't scale and it's very resource dependent. And when times are good, a lot of resources are hired. And then when times are bad, you can't streamline as efficiently as you want to or as quickly as you want to. And so all of those issues go away with automation. And there's a lot more techniques today where you can automate. And the lack of consistency, which has also sort of plagued, I think, the loan industry, maybe less so than the agency mortgage side, but certainly for some of the non-QM products, the lack of consistency has created a liquidity issue, which also gets solved with automation. Because if you can create sort of automated processes and remove the subjectivity and exceptions that happen when you have people in the process who are making decisions, You create loans that are much more consistent. And so I think that, you know, you'll see, you know, people who continue to try to automate as much as possible, and, you know, do some of the same things that we're trying to do. I think the benefit of where we are is we've got a 6-year jump, at least on the HELOC side, on people, because we've been originating these loans for 6 years. We've got tons of performance history, and our loans, given the process that we're using, have performed really well. And so I think people just have to get comfortable also that, you know, if you're originating loans in an automated way, that they perform well. And we've been able to demonstrate with our loans. And so I think you're going to see people continuing to sort of press on automation and, you know, try to do similar things to what we've been trying to do.
Like I said, it'll be very cool to see how it evolves. Jackie, I want to thank you very much for the time today. This is great.
Yep. Thank you.
A blowout U.S. jobs report on Friday, in which non-farm payrolls grew by 303,000 in March, convinced investors that the strength of the labor market suggests the FOMC can continue to wait for further improvement on the inflation front before easing policy. That labor market has grown for 39 straight months, and total job creation is now 5.8 million, above where it was during the pre-COVID peak 4 years ago. The unemployment rate edged lower to 3.8%, wages grew at a solid clip, and workforce participation rose. The next move from the Fed is still expected to be to lower rates, but there is little sense of urgency. This is a commentary for residential lenders, but stocks do enter into the equation occasionally. The benchmark S&P 500 posted its worst weekly performance of the year on Friday, registering only its fourth overall negative week of 2024. The decline was primarily driven by strong economic data on the labor market, which increased bets that the Fed will be in no hurry to cut interest rates. Accordingly, the only people who were disappointed in Friday's report were those looking for relief from Fed rate cuts. But investors should recognize the resilient labor market as a good thing for American workers and the economy at large. As traders trimmed bets on the Fed lowering rates in June, yields on most bonds rose to their highest closing levels of the year. Investors are also keeping a close eye on the unfolding situation in the Middle East, with tensions ratcheting up between Iran and Israel. Attention now turns to this week's CPI inflation report, which will be a key indication of whether the pickup in inflation at the start of the year was a function of earlier noise, or if inflation's journey back to the Fed's target has been drawn out. Although it would take a series of major surprises to prompt the Federal Reserve to do anything, the Consumer Price Index for March will be the headline this week, though other releases of note include the NFIB Small Business Optimism Index, wholesale inventories, PPI, import and export prices, and University of Michigan consumer sentiment. With nothing of note in today's economic calendar, we begin the week with agency MBS prices worth a solid quarter, the 10-year yielding 4.45 after closing Friday at 4.38%, and the 2 years up to 4.77 as the odds of a Fed cut in the next meeting continue to ebb. Let's wrap up with a joke and some housekeeping. Two old men were sitting on a bench talking about heaven. One of them said, "Man, I hope there's baseball in heaven. I miss playing that game since getting old, and I hope they have baseball up there." The next day, his lifelong friend Leo suddenly passes away, and the remaining old man is upset and goes to sit on the park bench they had sat on just the day before. He's sitting there thinking of his friend when suddenly he hears his friend's voice. "Frank, it's me. I'm in heaven." Startled, his friend asks, "Is that you, Leo? Are you really in heaven?" "Yeah, it's me. Yes, I'm in heaven. And I have some good news for you and some not so good news." "Okay, what's the good news?" "There is baseball in heaven. It's beautiful and the fields are perfect and you can play all day and night." Excited, his friend says, "That's awesome. But if it is so great, what's the not so good news?" His friend whispers, "Well, you're pitching on Tuesday." Thanks again to this week's podcast sponsor, PHH Mortgage. From subservicing to correspondent lending, MSR/co-issue transactions, portfolio retention, reverse mortgages, and commercial servicing, PHH has a solution for the entire mortgage lifecycle.
If you have any questions about the podcast or sponsoring opportunities, send me an email at robbie@robchrisman.com. Visit robchrisman.com for more information on our industry partners, access to archived commentaries, and how to subscribe to the daily mortgage news and commentary. To listen to or download past episodes of this podcast, search Mortgage News on any platform you get your podcast from.